His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Ananta Gauta Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glory Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtar Bhutala Shri Devakta Vidanta. Swami Nitya Namani Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Vachanane Nira Vishesha. Sunyavari Pasachi Desa Tarane. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 7, the son of Drona punished, text number 50. Word meanings, Nakula, Nakula, Sahadeva, Sahadev, Cha, An, Yuyudana, Sajaki, Dananjaya, Arjuna, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Devaki Putra, the son of Devaki, Lord Sri Krishna, yea, those, cha, and, anye, others, ya, those, cha, and, Yoshita, ladies. Could we turn this fan off?
Sure.
Oh, you can turn another one on, I don't want to stifle the air, but on top of me is a bit much. Nakula Sahadevascha. Yudano Dananjaya.
Yudano Dananjaya.
Bhagavan Devaki Putra.
Bhagavan Devaki Putra.
Yechan Yeyascha Yoshita.
Yechan Yeyascha Yoshita.
Nakula Sahadevascha.
Nakula Sahadevascha.
Yudano Dananjaya. Bhagavan Devaki Putra.
Bhagavan Devaki Putra.
Yechan Yeyascha Yoshita.
Yechan Yeyascha Yoshita.
Nakula Sahadevascha.
Nakula Sahadevascha.
Yuyudano Dananjaya.
Yuyudano Dananjaya.
Bhagavan Devaki Putra. Yechan Yeyascha Yoshita.
Yechan Yeyascha Yoshita. Nakula Sahadevascha.
Nakula Sahadevascha.
Yuyudano Dananjaya.
Yuyudano
Before I read the translation, we're also reading text 51 and 52. But just let me set the scene for you a bit. We know that there's been some disagreement over Dharma, despite conflicting statements of the Shastra. There's been some conflict amongst the persons that are mentioned in this verse. So as we see them set out in the scene, we know that there's some tension amongst them about what to do with Aswatthama. Translation. Nakula and Sahadev, the younger brothers of the king, and Satyaki. Why is Satyaki mentioned here? I mean, why is he mentioned? He's mentioned, he's the commander-in-chief of the Pandavas' army. And so he's mentioned here also. He's a player in the field, in other words. Nakula and Sahadev, the younger brothers of the king, and also Satyaki, Arjuna, the personality of Godhead Lord Sri Krishna, son of Devaki, and the ladies and others all unanimously agreed with the king. Unanimously agreed with the king means that they accepted Yudhisthira's statement that was accepting Draupadi's forgiveness of Aswatthama. Text 51. Bhim, however, disagreed with them and recommended killing this culprit who, in an angry mood, had murdered sleeping children for no purpose and for neither his nor his master's interest. Text 52. Chaturbhuja, the four-armed one, or the personality of Godhead, after hearing the words of Bhima, Draupadi, and others, saw the face of his dear friend Arjuna, and he began to speak as if smiling. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna had two arms, and why he is designated as four-armed is explained by Sridhar Swami. Both Bhim and Draupadi held opposite views about killing Aswatthama. Bhima wanted him to be immediately killed, whereas Draupadi wanted to save him. We can imagine Bhima ready to kill while Draupadi is obstructing him. And in order to prevent both of them, the Lord discovered another two arms. Originally, the primeval Lord Sri Krishna displays only two arms, but in his Narayan feature, he exhibits four. In his Narayan feature, he resides with his devotees in the Vaikuntha planets, while in his original Sri Krishna feature, he resides in the Krishna Loka planet, far, far above the Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky. Therefore, if Sri Krishna is called Chaturbhuja, there is no contradiction. If need be, he can display hundreds of arms, as he exhibited in his Visvarupa shown to Arjuna. Therefore, one who can display hundreds and thousands of arms can also manifest four whenever needed. When Arjuna was perplexed about what to do with Aswatthama, Lord Sri Krishna, as the very dear friend of Arjuna, voluntarily took up the matter just to make a solution. And he was smiling also. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So this morning I'd like to speak about the subject of succession. Succession, of course we all have our own succession. We're going to secede from this body at some point in time. But succession, in terms of what we'll speak about today, has to do with, in the case in the Bhagavatam, governments. And in the other case, which I wanted to introduce, organizations. So succession of the throne of Hastinapur as well as succession in terms of ISKCON. As Mukhya mentioned, this week in particular, there's a focus by the GBC strategic planning team on the incorporation of ISKCON. So that also involves this idea of succession. And so I'll speak about succession, intermixing these two areas. So first of all, with the scene that's just been laid out by in the Srimad Bhagavatam for us, it's all about succession. If we think back to the origins of the Mahabharata war, it came about when there was a question or a desire, or question and desire, for succession to the throne. That's the origin of the Mahabharata war. Who would be the rightful ruler? Who is the rightful ruler to the throne of Hastinapur? Succession. And of course, that was hotly contested and resulted in a war. And one of the things that makes Drona's act here so terrible is that despite things progressing from internal strife to world war, and then millions upon millions of soldiers being killed, and the war being concluded with a victor, the Pandavas, despite all of that, Ashwatthama's act was so heinous, because by killing the four sleeping sons of Draupadi, again the question is reopened of succession. This is why there's such a emphasis on this heinous act. All that went on, and we're back to the point again where there's an attempt to stop the rightful succession of kings. And so therefore, it's very important how this situation is resolved. An entire war that killed millions of men and left millions of ladies husbandless and lamenting. The entire culmination of that hinges on this event. And if we recall, this is the first appearance of Sri Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's important that we understand he appeared at this time. He appeared at this time just as he appeared at the beginning of the battle. The beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra, he resolved any conflicts or doubts that the battle should be taken. And here, when the whole question of succession is being reopened by Ashwatthama's act, Sri Krishna is also here. And there's one characteristic that's found in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam about Sri Krishna. And it's mentioned in this verse and the purport. Can anybody? There's a characteristic of Krishna in both instances. Anybody have any idea what it is?
Joyful.
Huh?
Blissful joy.
Yeah, he was smiling. He was smiling at Arjuna's perplexity on the battle of Kurukshetra, and he's also smiling at Arjuna's perplexity again. Not in a condemning way or condescending way, but in a way to give assurance that, don't worry, everything will be all right. I can handle this. So it's interesting in that way. So just to look at the characters as we went around and how this situation needs to be resolved for them to go forward. We talked about the question of who was the rightful king. The Kuru dynasty for generations had been struggling with this idea of who's the rightful king. If you go back over the history, it's not just Duryodhana on the throne, but back before Pandu and Vichitavirya, what's his brother's name? Vichitavirya?
And
Dhritarashtra and Pandu. And before them, Vichitavirya and Chitranga, and before them Shantanu, and he wanted to get married, and Bhishma couldn't get married. He took a terrible vow. All these things affected the succession of the throne. And so, who was the rightful king, as I said, went on for generations in the Kuru dynasty. So that's one thing that's threatened here. The second was Draupadi being dishonored. Draupadi being dishonored was not just a matter of her personally, but it was an insult to the entire Vedic culture. A chaste woman dragged in front of the assembly of the so-called kings of the world, an attempt to be made disrobed. This was a challenge, and it had to be avenged. It's not like these things, okay, it's okay. No, it had to be avenged. And so this killing of her sons further dishonored Draupadi, and it needs to be cleaned up. It needs to be rectified. And Bhimasena, it's mentioned in a verse here. That he was angry. Where is it? In the word for word. Amarsita, in an angry mood. So Bhima was very, he was among all the five Pandavas' brothers, the most afflicted with anger at the disrobing of Draupadi. He vowed to kill Dushasan? He vowed to kill Dushasan. Actually, he vowed to kill him in a horrible way by tearing out his heart and drinking his blood or something like that. So much anger was there. And he was still angry. And this resolution that's being proposed here of not punishing Drona was something that he was continually angered about. And so that has to be dealt with. His anger has to be quelled. So that's another thing at risk here in this situation. And Dharmaraj himself, Yudhisthira, King Yudhisthira, the knower of Dharma, the living his life so strictly according to Dharmic principles, he was plagued with questions about what's right and wrong in this situation. And he just ascended to the throne. It needed to be cleared up so he could go forward with his rule. So that was another thing that was left at hanging. And Arjuna, as I mentioned at the beginning of the Battle of Kurukshetra, he was bewildered and he had to be pacified by Lord Sri Krishna himself. And so after going through the battle and gaining victory, again he's put in the same kind of situation where he is in distress and needs to approach Sri Krishna for resolution. So these are all questions that involve succession and needed to be resolved to move on from generation after generation of difficulty, succession. And if you think about it, succession is so important in our lives as well. We're celebrating the incorporation of ISKCON, focusing on the seven main purposes of ISKCON. But I don't know, I haven't seen all of the presentations, but I wonder if we're missing talking about not just the purposes for ISKCON, but the legal form, the significance of the legal form of a corporation that is being celebrated. And corporations provide certain facilities, legal facilities, for different activities. And it can make a difference whether you're incorporated or not. So what does the form of organization chosen by Srila Prabhupada have to say about his mission? That's a question of succession. Just like the question of succession was so important in the Mahabharata war, the question of succession in spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement, how the form that takes place in is extremely important. For instance, we know that Srila Prabhupada wanted a collective organization, collective management, the GBC. But does the form, the legal form that took place in July 1966 facilitate that or not? Well, it does, because Prabhupada was careful to select how he wanted to organize. Let me read you some definitions of what a corporation is, just in case you don't know. A corporation is an organization, usually a group of people authorized by the state to act as a single entity and recognized as such in law for certain purposes. So it's a corporation is a group of people that are authorized by law to act as one. Now we know in the history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave instructions about to his disciples to form a GBC, a governing body commission, the form taken of organization to move forward Krishna consciousness, to move forward in a mat or temple's process of spreading Krishna consciousness was usually the acharya system, where there's one acharya, and through that authority, everything moves forward. Prabhupada himself pointed out how that was problematic in the history of the Gaudiya Math, where one person, the acharya, was the form of organization, everything through one person. But was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission meant to spread like that? If we see the example of Srila Prabhupada, we see that many acting as one was the principle established by a corporation. Many acting as one. And we can see this, Kalena Priyate, judge a thing by the result. When one was absolute, how did things move forward? But when many acted as one, how did things move forward? It moved forward, not necessarily without difficulty, but together. in a collective manner. So the corporation form, which involves many working together as one, fit perfectly with the purposes of ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada's purposes of ISKCON. Now, another characteristic of a corporation is that it limits the liability of those involved. In other words, the corporation acts, but if it does something wrong, you're only liable for part of it, not everything. Does that make sense? Have I explained that? You have limited liability. In other words, the corporation could lose billions of dollars, but how much you lose is limited by how much you invested. Is it clear? So, this idea of limited liability is a characteristic of a corporation. If it does something wrong, you can't be held responsible for it. So that principle is there too in what Srila Prabhupada wanted. Collective responsibility, that's another way of talking about limited liability, is collective responsibility. Everyone is responsible for what happens. And so therefore everyone, although many, everyone takes full responsibility. And that's what Srila Prabhupada expected of his disciples in ISKCON. How many times did he say to us, I want to retire, translate my books, you take responsibility, you take responsibility. And from the very beginning, he was giving responsibility to his disciples, giving real authority based on the corporate structure to his disciples. You take responsibility, take responsibility. So we all have the responsibility. I remember it came down to me, we were traveling on a library party, our bands, and responsibility, taking responsibility for ISKCON's movement came down to me in changing the oil in the van. I never changed oil in the car before. But that's what we had to do, because we had to take responsibility all the way down to the lowest thing. And we felt that responsibility in reciprocation with Srila Prabhupada. And so, ultimately, the seven purposes of ISKCON are going to be executed through succession, because these purposes are not things that we used to do. They are for doing and continue to do doing. And so the seven purposes of ISKCON are going to be accomplished by continued effort through the disciplic succession. And that's one reason why who was the rightful king was so important. Because you had to guarantee the future. If you put the right king on the throne, then future generations will see the benefit of that. It's about succession. It's not about now. It's about the future. That's what the battle was on the Kurukshetra. Who's going to be the rightful king? Because as the succession continues, it will be springing from the right place, the rightful Dharmic king. Same thing with the seven purposes of ISKCON. They will be executed by those following and working conjointly, working together to please Srila Prabhupada. And if we look at these purposes, we'll see they're not one man's job. They're not one man's job. Therefore, the many acting as one. to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and educate all peoples in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. How is that possible by one man? It's not. It's not possible by us even as individuals. But when we collectively work together, then there's some hope. Prabhupada told us, individually, I don't have any faith in you. But collectively, I put my faith in you. So all of these, to propagate Krishna consciousness, to bring the members of society together, to teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement, to erect for the members of the society at large a holy place of transcendental pastimes, to bring the members closer together for purpose of teaching a simpler and more natural way of life, and with a view toward achieving the purpose to publish and distribute periodicals, magazine, books, and other writing. These are activities meant for many acting as one. That's succession in ISKCON. Similarly, the succession spoken of as a result of the Mahabharata war, pleasing Krishna, ruling men so that they become God-conscious, was also the business of a dynasty. Therefore, the Kuru dynasty we talk about, not just, or the Kuru kings, not just one, but many working together. And that's what was unique about the Pandavas. The Pandavas were five, but they were able to work together as one because there was no envy between them. And they fully accepted Krishna's plan for them. So that is a very pertinent example for us as we study succession in ISKCON. Just one more thing about corporations, especially non-profit corporations. Do you know why they give non-profit status to corporations? They give nonprofit status because the government rationalizes that actually these are activities that we should be doing as the government. But when we don't do them, we can give some facility to other groups that are organized to do the government's business. So the government's business is to spread Krishna consciousness by this model. But because they're not doing it, they gave incorporation to ISKCON. And therefore, we have to collectively do it. So, questions, comments, reflections on these subjects?
I have it.
Thank you, Shesha Prabhu. It's really nice how you bring up this point about succession. Because so many wars in history have been fought over this issue. I would think most wars were fought over, you know, who should take over power and who should get the kingdom and who should get the empire. So it's a really, really important issue. And, you know, the whole Battle of Kurukshetra, like you said, was fought on this principle. And so Krishna wanted to put the Pandavas on the throne because they were devotees and because they were pious. So we can see how important this is because, like you said, in the hands of like the wrong king, like the whole kingdom and the whole world can suffer. You know, like we saw with, for example, Hiranyakashipu, and then the Lord came to establish Prahlad Maharaj on the throne, and similarly here. Krishna wants to establish the Pandavas on the throne, so how important it is to have like a pious, you know, leader, like a pious king. So I think this idea of succession is so important and so prevalent in the Bhagavatam.
Well, in the Gita, Krishna says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhuta nama dharmasya tadatmanam jajamiham. He comes and he writes things by reestablishing dharma. And that's meant to, like, carry things forward. Not that I got to stay here, he stays the whole time. He comes and he goes. and he reestablishes, and there's supposed to be succession that it goes like he says. But because of the material nature, it goes off track. So he comes again and puts it on track. But he doesn't stay. He comes and he fixes things, and the succession is meant to continue. But it doesn't, as you point out. So.
I wanted to say thank you for bringing that point. We were just reading, studying Bhagavad Gita, and in our Bhagavad Gita study group, that how what Arjun was saying was such valid arguments why not to fight in the first chapter he was giving. And we're like, why is that? I mean, sure, we know Krishna wanted to have Yudhishthira Maharaj, but I appreciated your point about the whole succession, the dynasty, and what it means, and the importance of making sure that you have the right person. Because I heard, I think one place Prabhupada even said that Duryodhana was a good ruler, or something like that, I remember reading. But yeah, I really appreciate your point that the importance of succession. Another thing that came to my mind, you're talking about the working cooperatively, and the five Pandavas, and how their nature was so different. There were so five individuals, and comparing to our society. And yet we see that Yudhishthira Maharaj, who was such an amazing ruler, but he made such a grievous mistake in the gambling match. Certainly it is all Krishna's arrangement, but the reality was that yes, he made some grievous mistake there. And just to see that how the Pandavas, the other four, were there with him. I mean, that's just amazing thing, that the fact of keeping things together, even seeing that somebody has making such a mistake, and the person seeing is the topmost person, and yet they, because they stayed together, even though he made a mistake, it's just, I think that's why, that's what kept together. That's why, you know, yeah, that's why they had victory. So I think that's something, a nice lesson that we can also see that in the Mahabharata.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the class. On non-profit, as I understand, business means anything related with the buying or selling. But the non-profit is something they are not doing, buying or selling. So my question is, how do we justify it's one of the government business?
Well, it's because it's a government business because they have to look after the welfare of this population. There are many things that are important for the population beyond just buying and selling. So you'll find to get not tax exemption, you have to qualify and you have to show how you're going to be benefiting the public. And then they make a determination, are you tax exempt or not, based on what your purposes are and how you execute those purposes. If you're executing even a so-called social benefit purpose, but doing it in such a way that you're lining your pockets with cash, they won't give you tax exemption for that. They'll regulate you for that to make sure that's not what's happening. So the motive is not for, what's the word, pecuniary profit purpose. In other words, for a purpose for money. That's not, your purpose has to be social benefit and not for personal gain. Not that you can't buy and sell or do big things with millions of dollars. You can, but the purpose can't be just millions of dollars. It has to be for the benefit of the people. Therefore, the government says, okay, you're benefiting the people. We can't do that. You know, we're limited in what we can do in that regard. So you do. And you get the benefit of tax exemption.
I have a question.
Okay.
It's not a political, but just some clarity is needed. Like in corporation world, there is a S corporation, C corporation. S corporation can be single in America. C corporation means groups of people has the same idea and they want to do it. So I had a little discussion with one of your god brother. I don't like to mention his name because I respect him like that. And the reason he said, well, Prabhupada did that too. Prabhupada was with a group of his god brothers and others, then he separated. And then he created this Ishkan. So there was a maybe unrecorded S corporation, then Prabhupada made C corporation, now he wants everybody to cooperate. What is your insight? Why it's an example is not externally looks like he wants everybody to cooperate and work together. At the same time, he separated from the group and created another group.
Well, he separated, as far as I understand, he separated from a group that did not choose to operate as a group, but choose to operate as one acharya. And his purpose was, just think about it, Prabhupada, the first thing he does is form a corporation in which he gives away his absolute position as like an acharya. No, not really, he's still acharya. But legally the form is many. And he says in the meeting, Tamahar was repeating at the Sunday feast when he was talking about this, he said, Mr. Such and Such, you sign, you sign. He points out people in the audience to sign the incorporation document. You can see their signatures there. And so they were the initial directors. And Prabhupada, in a sense, legally is giving away his absolute authority to these individuals to sign. But he was willing to take that risk because of the principle of many acting as one. So what I understand is he separated himself from the one acting alone principle.
And you mentioned that was about this culture that was original idea to spread Krishna consciousness.
Well, he asked me for GBC, collective management, that's what he wanted.
So I have some questions here, or comments, in the chat room.
I have some limits, so maybe one or two only. I have an appointment this morning. One or two questions, maybe.
Okay. One is from Krishna Kishore Guru. What can we, as a younger generation, do to help in the succession of Ishkan? Also, what are the activities and solutions currently happening for the successful succession program?
Well, what young people can do is they can not be bewildered by or turned away by the example of how their elders surrendered everything and they weren't taken care of. That scares young people. I see how my parents they gave everything and they weren't taken care of when they needed. Don't be afraid of that, because it was a mistake. It was unfortunate, it was wrong. But don't be turned off by that. Surrender to Krishna knowing that he'll protect you. And in that way, make the type of sacrifices that are needed to carry things on.
Another, who's SDM? I forgot.
Sridhar Muni.
Oh, succession brahmas, I'm not sure, bruhas, are endless in Kshatriya culture. As per Puranic histories, so what makes the SB, means Bhagavatam, I guess, Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata so special? Is it just another Kshatriya tale involving managerial finance?
No, because Krishna is involved. It's about Krishna. It's about Krishna. Krishna is the one making... The resolution here is Krishna's smile, isn't it? That's the resolution. That's how everyone can be relieved. Okay, it's gonna be okay because Krishna is smiling, and he can manifest a thousand arms. Prabhupada says in the purport, any problem Krishna can handle it. That's the point in the purport. He manifests four arms here, but he can manifest. Prabhupada says thousands of arms anytime he wants. So any problem can be managed. That's the point.
He's adding something with his comment. Since corp legal structure is a legacy of capitalism in a European context, and initially...
Making the best use of a bad bargain. Corporations are definitely evil things in one sense, and they have a bad history. So I'm not trying to promote the bad corporate history. I'm talking about taking the best thing from the bad bargain of the corporation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trashy Mud Bhagavatam Fusion.